Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. We are probably wondering why I'm standing here instead of Elder Nick to lead prayer time. I notice we have some guests. Maybe I know you, but maybe I don't. I don't think I do. Welcome. It's going to be a little bit of different gathering today. Last night, many of you have already heard, but last night my dad died in his sleep. And God's mercy in Dad's life has been pretty amazing in a lot of ways. But I will tell you that last night we spent the evening together. He was not lucid yesterday. He had had some anxiousness and had a medication that had him pretty out of it most of the day. Had a few lucid statements throughout the day, made a few things that made sense. But we were able to sit in this room last night, a lot of the grandkids and wives and the ones that are here, and hear Grandpa say some funny stuff that everybody could laugh about. And about 10 o'clock, everybody left there and went to bed. Mom came and got me at about 11:45 and said, "Hey, Dad's really, really restless. Can you come down?" And so I went down. He was really restless, just kind of stirring and talking in ways that didn't make much sense. And so he has a medication that they give you in hospice that helps him to just calm down. So we gave him that medication, and as he was calming down, Steve and Brenda and Emily and I and Mom sat and we sang hymns, and we had a very sweet time, and went back up about 1 o'clock, I went back up to bed. Dad was mostly sleeping, breathing heavily. Steve stayed down for another 45 minutes, and then he went to bed, and I got up this morning to come here to prepare, and I went down to give him a kiss, and he was cold, and turned on the light, and his carotid has been just booming lately, and it wasn't. So we got Mom, and Dad had left his body, and his soul has left now to be with God. And so his shell was left in that bed, looking very peaceful. God's providence in all of this has been very overwhelming. I know Bob and Kathy, some of you have seen him, and I don't remember all that, but Friday, Bob and Kathy talked to him, and pretty lucid, and they had a pretty decent discussion. He was tired, and yesterday, not much, and boy, he wasn't in pain. He wasn't, he was not afraid this whole time, and certainly not yesterday, and certainly not the day before, and he just went to sleep, and then his soul left to go be with the Lord. And so what we're going to do today is instead of our normal Sunday gathering, like the preparation I had for the sermon and such, I want to take this opportunity for us to celebrate together, to worship God and to celebrate what a glorious God we serve, what an awesome God, and we can worship Him in the hope that we have. And so we're going to sing a little bit more than normal. There'll be a funeral, of course, but this will be our time to be together as a family and to worship as this family. And then later this week, there'll be the normal funeral. But with Dad, that'll probably be fairly large, and a lot of that could get lost in the mix. And so we wanted to spend this day especially focusing on God's goodness as it would pertain to Dad's life and all of our lives. So we're going to start out by singing Psalm 23. If you stand in your hymnal, it's hymn 168. 168. And it is Psalm 23, hymn 168. For those guests, the hymnals are under your seats in a wire basket. If you haven't been here before, there should be a wire basket and a hymnal under there. If not, if we don't have enough.
I don't have one.
Okay. Corey, could you grab a couple of hymnals? If you don't have a hymnal and you need one, raise your hand. We need one up here in the front row. Anybody else? We just need one up here, Corey, I think. Roy, okay, Brother Wesley, yep, go ahead and bring it up. We need one up here. And then we're good. Two right there, I guess. Perfect. And you can get one to Nicholas as well if you want. Nick, sir. One more there would be good. Okay. Hymn 168. We got it. We got it, Corey. Thank you. 168. I guess maybe one thing, as we're standing here singing, guess for the benefit of the children, I will just let you all know, maybe I tried to talk my children through this morning. Grandpa Duncan, my dad, he died in his sleep. And so the body that was containing his soul left his body to go be with the Lord. And his shell or his body stopped functioning. So you will see Grandpa Duncan again if you come to the funeral, children. You won't see Grandpa Duncan. You'll see his shell. You'll see his body. His soul has departed. And when we die, that's what happens. Our soul leaves our body. And our soul goes to stand before God, either to be judged for our sins that we've committed and banished into hell, or to be seen as Christ in His righteousness and welcome into glory for all eternity. And we believe that's where Grandpa Duncan is. So that's what happened last night. You won't see him anymore. But, and if you don't know the Lord, then, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's going to be hard for you to understand and have hope. But I want you to remember that we don't sorrow as those without hope. We go through this time with great hope. I'm going to read a couple of Psalms I read these fairly regularly to my dad over the last 3 months, so they became fairly meaningful. And after I read those, we're going to pray. And our corporate prayer is going to be a little bit different this morning. If you desire to pray after Elder Nick has prayed, you can put your hand up and he will bring you a microphone for you to pray. So we are going to pray together after I read these Psalms. I would ask that the prayers be from those of you who know the Lord, because He hears your prayers. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. Interestingly, a little bit of an antidote. Last night when Dad was saying things that made no sense, saying names, we don't know the names he was saying. In the middle of all of that, he recited the Lord's Prayer. About 30% of it. But he was talking to the Lord. The pains of death surrounded him. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, and now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of You, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dad, if one thing about my dad I was thinking about talking about with Mom this morning as we were sitting waiting for the funeral home. If Dad loved you, he really loved you. He loves hard. And it's interesting because he didn't always show that love to people in a way that you might understand it. But if he loved you, he loved you. And I'll tell you, saints, something to be encouraged. He loved you, saints, in this place. That's how he would call you in the last days. Matter of fact, Friday, he said, I don't know if I make church on Sunday, son. But you tell the saints I love them. Yeah. So we're going to sing. My dad's favorite song was Grace Unmeasured, and it's not in our hymnal, which, much to his chagrin, I was rebuked and reproved plenty of times that it wasn't in our hymnal by my dad. It was interesting because something you may have all heard, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but when he was in the hospital throughout the time he was having in the hospital and, you know, poked, prodded, and there was times where he was in lots of pain and going back, not recently. And if Mom and I would turn on this song, no matter what he was going through, he would raise his hands and he'd worship. And he would still. So we are going to sing this song that is not in your hymnal, but it is on these pieces of paper that were on your seats around you, front and back. It is. If not, I think there might be some more back there if you don't have one. You could hold your hand up and Kevin would give you one. And we are going to sing Grace Unmeasured. Wait just a second, Brad. Let's make sure everybody's got one that needs one. You are great, God. As we open Your Word, may it encourage us, may it equip us, may it renew us, renew our minds. Father, may Your people eat of Your Word today and be nourished for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. If you're going to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, this will be a little bit different today as far as a sermon. I have no preparation other than the preparation God's already given me about what I know and what the Word of God says. So I'm going to read portions of 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to start in verse 46. 1 Corinthians 15, 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So the first man was Adam. Adam was made of dust. Adam was made of dust and created into a bodily image like you and I have. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. The second man to come in flesh. was God Himself. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. See, beloved, we are all made in the image of God, made from, we are the seed of Adam. We have fleshly bodies that will die and return to dust. The body that my children saw and the grandchildren saw and all the people that saw Duncan, Dad, Grandpa's body this morning. It was just a body that's going to go be buried in a few days. And it's going to return to dust. From dust it came and from dust it will return. And yet because of Christ, He bears the image of the heavenly man. Dad bore the image of Christ. In that he was born again, in that he believed on Christ, and that he was in Christ and Christ was in him. So he didn't just have this body like we all have, but he had a born again spiritual body that was our soul that was connected to Christ. And the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, when an unbeliever dies, their body returns to dust and their soul goes to be judged and then is sent to hell because they aren't in Christ. And see, when Dad breathed his last early this morning, sometime between 2 in the morning and 5 in the morning, it was just a moment. It was, as he told people, as people came, people were coming to him the last few days. He told a few people, he said, look, when I take my last breath here, I'm going to take my first breath there. And I don't know about, I suppose we breathe, you know, that's what happened. He took his last breath here and in an instant, he was standing before God. And he was seen as Christ. He wasn't seen as Duncan, the Duncan that you all know and that we know. The Duncan that you all know, the Duncan that had flaws and stains and sin. And even in salvation was too rough for many of us. But the minute he passed from here to there, he breathed his last here. It was a straining breath too, I'm sure, because he was breathing deeply last night. And so the breaths that were hard in this body, the minute he goes there, his breath is easy. And now he is in Christ. He was in Christ here, but now he is in heaven, in Christ, in glory. Now I say this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Dad did not go. This body that you saw this morning, Elijah, you didn't see it, but you will see it in a few days. Children, you didn't see it, and none of you saw, but that body that was there, that body is not going to heaven. You saw that body. It was bruised and it was old and it was tired. That body's not going to heaven. It cannot go to heaven. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. We will have, Duncan has a heavenly body. Remember, in heaven, we don't exist in time. Time is an earthly construct. And it's not a time for an eschatological sermon, but Dad will have a glorified body. Duncan will have a body that's different. He will have a body, but it won't be this body. It won't be the body that you all saw the last few weeks, or even the body that Mom met when she thought he was so attractive so many years ago. It won't be either of those bodies. I don't know what it'll be, but it won't be those bodies. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on the immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O Hades, where is your victory? You see, because of Christ, when Dad breathes his last in the twinkling of an eye, and he goes and he's in glory, death, where is your victory? Hades, where is your victory? Where is your victory over Duncan? Christ is victorious. I'm looking out, Caleb, when you die, Christ will be victorious. There will be no victory for death and for Hades. There will be no victory for Satan. There will be no victory other than in Christ. Christ has claimed you, beloved. You are His. With all your stains and your wrinkles and your problems. We're all a little too rough. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory, beloved. And I will tell you that there is nothing to be sad about for Duncan's sake. Nothing. Nothing at all. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. And this I want to encourage us with. I want to encourage all of us, God's people. This is for the people who know Christ. This is for those who have been redeemed. This is for us. The scriptures are for us to be edified and equipped and to know how to move forward and to be encouraged in how to move forward. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Paul says to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be, remember, ignorant means you just don't know. You don't want you to act as if you don't know. Grace Fellowship Church, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We will not sorrow as those who have no hope. Hope, the word is elpis. It means an expectation of good. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope. You see, what happens when someone dies? For everybody, we understand the reality of death. We see it. We see that, oh yeah, that's right, I'm going to die. That's right, I'm going to die. Everybody in here has that knowledge. Even Sophia has some knowledge of that, has had it before and will have it now even more. We're all going to die. And so we're confronted with the reality of what if it was us who breathed our last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. You know what happens to me? And you, beloved, we get to be with God in glory. You know what happened to Dad? He got to be with God in glory. So we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Look, you're free to cry. I know we've had this discussion throughout my time here at Grace Fellowship Church. But if you cry, examine what you're crying for. Don't cry as someone who has no hope. Don't cry as someone who's afraid of death. Don't cry who's someone who says, oh, if Duncan could have just had 2 more years to do X, Y, Z. We don't cry as those who have no hope. Expectation of good. We have an expectation of good. So we're not sorrow as if we have an expectation of anything else. For if we believe the word pistuo, we put our full faith and trust. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. God might bring those with Him. Maybe if you really did good enough, God might. You know, if Duncan did good enough, He might bring him with Him. No, He will bring those that are in Christ with Him. He will. He will. So we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We believe. We put our full faith and trust. We walk every day in the full faith and trust that we will be in glory. So we won't sorrow like those who don't have hope. That have no expectation of good. At best, some of my children, they would have an expectation of neutrality. Well, that's not going to happen. It's going to be bad if they don't turn to Christ. But the expectation of neutrality, we don't have that. Beloved, we have an expectation of good, of glory. And we believe that, and we put our faith and our trust in that, and so we will walk as if we believe that for our lives and for other saints' lives. And that is what we will say. And I'm so thankful that all the people who have been involved in this situation, imperfectly, but mostly the doctors and the guys who came to pick up the body today, and the hospice nurses and the players of dads that came to see us, and the people that don't know the Lord that came to see us, they saw a family who had trust in the sovereignty of a good God, who lived as those who had hope. Duncan sat and he told people, and I told you this before, he told them in a fairly, I don't know, not a very sharpened way because he's waited too long to practice preaching the gospel, but he told them in no uncertain terms, I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. I have hope. And I want you to have that hope too, listener, he would say. Whoever it was, I want you to have that hope. You must know Christ. You must know Christ. See, we believe, beloved, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we believe in Christ, and we are in Christ. And because we believe that, we know He will bring us with Him. When we take our last breath here, and when we step into eternity, we know He will bring us with Him. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm going to live my life consistent with the reality of where I'm going to be, and so will you. And so I'm anticipating the funeral might have a lot of people at it. You may know none of them, but you might have a chance to talk to them. And if you have a chance to talk to them, probably the conversation is going to be about Dad before you even knew him, most of you. Things like they're going to name the quarter after him and all these things that are going on that the world cares about. Do you know how much my dad cares right now if Rock Island's court is named after him or not? Exactly zero. It's meaningless because we have hope in that reality. We don't have to cling to things in this world, beloved. And we don't have to cling to them for Duncan either. You know, some of his family didn't get here. This happened more quickly than we anticipated. Praise God. You know, Tanner had gotten together a day to honor Dad, and so when the mortician was there, whatever they call the funeral director, and they were talking about that, Dad said, well, then the most optimal day for me to die would be on Wednesday, so I'm going to do my best to do that. The Lord had him go home on his day. It doesn't matter what we want. We will hope in God's perfect timing, in God's sovereignty, and of the surety of where we will be. These words, elpis and pistuo, turn over just a little bit to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Now faith, pistis, is the substance of things hoped for. Elpizo. Faith is the substance of things, elpizo, hoped for. Belief and faith, our confidence and our trust is placed in things. The substance of that faith is in things that we hope for. We hope for not in a, oh, I hope this happens. We hope for it with an expectation of good. You see, it's not, I hope this happens. I hope I go to heaven. It is, I expect to go to heaven. That's what the word elpis means. That's what hope is. That's what the Greek word means. So my faith, my belief, my full confidence, beloved, your full confidence is in things that you expect, even though the evidence of things not seen. The word for not seen, blepo, see with bodily eyes. We have not seen glory, have we? We have not seen eternity, have we? Have any of you seen eternity? No, beloved. But do you expect it? Amen. We expect it. So we live in this expectation of glory that we do not see. And that is what faith is. And that faith allows us to live to that end and not to the ends of the things that we were so drawn to before God gave us the grace of new life. So when we talk to people, and you can pray for me, and you can pray for Mom and Steve and Emily and Brenda and all of the family that are believers, you can pray that when people talk to them about Dad's past, that they live as people, that I live as a person that has faith, that is grounded in my expectation of good, that I have never seen, but I bet my life on it. I know it. I know it as sure as this podium is here. I believe it. And so do you, beloved. So let's live like we believe it. Let's take the opportunity, death, life, anything. Let's take the opportunity to point people to this thing called hope, this thing called faith, this person, this God named Jesus. The Jesus that died, that my father might live, my dad, that Duncan Reed might live, Jesus Christ died, that you might live, beloved, Christ died. Let's live in that hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's dwell on our expectation of the good, of the glory. We don't have to even try to see it because we won't see it until we're there. But we have seen it, have we not? We've seen the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That is the glory of God, and we've seen it. And then someday we will see face to face. As Dad is now doing, why would it be sad for Duncan? He's seeing Christ. How many of you long to see Christ? You yearn to know Him more. We live our lives as believers hungering and thirsting and wanting to know Him more. And now in glory, when you breathe your last and you step over as a believer, you then get to experience what you've never seen, you now get to see. O death, where's your victory? O Hades, where's your victory? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's live in that reality, beloved. Let's worship the rest of this day in that reality. Look forward. Look to Christ as we worship the rest of this day. Listening to some of those, I was going to mention this and forgot earlier, and I'm glad it came to mind. About, I don't know, it was, well, the day we got the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer and went into hospice, Mom said, "Well, my only job is to serve Duncan, is to care for Duncan. That's my focus." And I told her that's wonderful, and I'm thankful. And she focused and turned and focused on Duncan. And what I told her, and I'll tell you, is I praise God for that. And I want to let you all know that you don't need to wait until you or someone your love is dying to do what God called you to do in the first place. I mean, I'm thankful for that testimony in my mom's life. And yet I'm hopeful that you all wives, for instance, and that won't wait to say, I'm going to complete my husband. From this day forward, that's what I'm going to do. And you husbands won't say, from this day forward, I'm going to love my wife. Don't wait, because we all have Christ now. And that brings me to what came to my mind. My dad, it's not that he never preached the gospel, and he did hand out some tracts, but Dad always had a fear of witnessing. And when he knew he was dying, he told everybody, "Beloved, we're dying. Tell everybody. We're dying. Tell everybody of Christ. Don't wait. Don't wait." We are going to sing hymn 388, "He Will Hold Me Fast." Hymn 388.